Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Can you guys hear me? Today is New Life Day, and the title is, Who is the Lord our God? And as Vernon said, we are marking 25 years of God's faithfulness, transforming lives, and seeing God's hand in it. May I invite all of us to stand as we read God's passage for us this morning from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please take a seat. 2 months ago, I sought the Lord for His heartbeat for today's sermon. That's what I usually do when I'm asked to preach. God, what is your heartbeat? What do you want the people to hear? And this question, who is like the Lord our God, it kept going and circling in my head. I believe today we are called to recognize that our Lord is the God of glory and the God of grace. And because He is the God of glory, we are to praise Him for blessing New Life's work, for it's an imperative, for it's a discipline of discipleship. And because He is the God of grace, we are to follow His example in His heart for the needy, in testimony, in transformation. Before I get into the 6 points, let me just share a bit about the historical context of Psalm 113. Now, Psalm 113 is the opening psalm of what is known as the Egyptian Hallel, or the Praise Psalms. This is a group of psalms which are sung at prominent Jewish festivals, for example, Passover. And Psalms 113 to 118 are called the Egyptian Hallel because they commemorate Israel's deliverance from Egyptian slavery. The word Hallel is there because the word Hallelujah occurs repeatedly in Hebrew through these psalms. Now, the Egyptian Hallel was crucial for the Israelites as a joyous and integral part of the Passover celebration commemorating their liberation from Egypt. So for the Israelites, reciting these psalms was an expression of gratitude for God's miracles, and it also served as a constant, regular reminder of the Israelites' foundational story of redemption, which included the Exodus and the crossing of the Red Sea. So the Egyptian Hallel's importance was formalized in Jewish liturgy, solidifying the connection between the heritage and God's divine providence. Now we get to Psalm 113 specifically. This is a psalm that helped the Israelites to remember the mercy of God, who God is, and what God has done. Psalm 113 captures the historical reality of a hierarchical society where God reverses social and personal shame by lifting up the poor, elevating the childless, and freeing the oppressed. And the psalm's themes also have a deeper context in anticipation of God's longer-term redemptive work. So with that historical context, let's go into the key points of today's sermon. He is the God of glory. So praise Him. Praise Him for blessing New Life's work. Remember I said a few moments ago that Psalm 113 is a psalm that helped the Israelites to remember the mercy of God, who God is, and what God has done. On New Life's 25th anniversary, I identify very strongly with verses 1 to 3, and I find a desire to praise God welling up within me. Let's listen again to verses 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Today is New Life Day. The theme is 25 years of God's faithfulness, transforming lives, God's hand in it. Indeed, God's hand has been at work in the last 25 years of New Life. If you remember what Elder Lawrence said in the video, when we started in the year 2000, we were just a small two-person team with one childcare center in Bukit Panjang. But even with our limitations, God used, and He's still using, our 5 loaves and 2 fishes to transform individual lives. From the 2 people to the single childcare center over the last 25 years, as said by our guest of honor, the Minister of Education, Desmond Lee, at our 25th anniversary dinner, he said in his opening speech, over the last 25 years, New Life has helped 16,000 children, 18,000 youth, 2,700 families, 1,000 seniors, and we've given out $1.3 million in financial aid. This is possible only because of God's hand at work. God has opened doors, and God has provided for our needs time and again. Now, some of you may be aware that over the last 18 months, New Life Preschool underwent growth from 3 preschools to 11 when we acquired YWCA's preschool. Now, one key challenge was recruiting and finding good principals. Those of you who are in the preschool sector will know it's hard enough to recruit good teachers. It's way harder to recruit good principals. And we can share with you that we are constantly faced with stress and temptation to prioritize competency over alignment to New Life's mission. When the fact is we need both. We need both competency and we need alignment with New Life's mission. But each time we've prayed and we've seen God's hand in bringing the right people. So I share with you this story, and we have Jia Yi's permission to share this. Jia Yi was looking to join a faith-based preschool. Now, Jia Yi's name was given to us, but for some reason, and I'm not entirely sure why, we got the wrong contact number. So when we tried to call Jia Yi, we couldn't get her. And Jia Yi was there on the other end waiting and waiting and waiting and wondering, when is New Life going to call me? And while she was waiting, she actually got a very good offer from another major secular preschool. And she got a good offer because she's a very good candidate. But Jia Yi sensed that this was not the door that God wanted her to take. She sensed that God was telling her, don't take this door. So eventually, our New Life team managed to get the right number, and we contacted her. And when we did it, Jia Yi immediately felt that this door, the New Life door, was the door that God had opened for her. And she's now the principal of New Life Preschool at McNair Center. God has also opened another door. He has brought to us children with developmental needs, with special needs, for example, children who have autism. Sometimes the parents literally come to us crying because other preschools reject their children. Over time, New Life has learned how to organize ourselves, equip ourselves, including by reducing our class sizes from a ratio of 1 to 10 to 1 to 8, so that we can give better care and attention to children with these developmental needs, even though working this way does cost New Life an extra $1.3 million per year. Secondly, praise Him, for it's an imperative. Now, we read the passage in English, and the English word is praise. But the Hebrew word, the phrase is hallelujah, praise the Lord. And hallelujah is actually a second person imperative. In other words, it's a command. So the actual phrase is something closer to all of you must praise the Lord. So praise is a command. Those of us who have served in New Life long enough have learned that New Life moves forward not on our expertise, not on our experience, not on how smart we are, but by God's hand. Sometimes during board meetings, I will get the New Life board to literally get on our knees to give praise to God and to seek His hand. So, for example, at our February combined dawn prayer, where the New Life board and the church board meet together, at this time it was at the Buduk preschool, one Saturday morning, we meet at 6:30 a.m. I asked both boards and the New Life staff to get on our knees to praise God and to seek Him. When we do this, it's a reminder to ourselves, New Life moves forward on its knees. New Life belongs to God, and all glory for its work belongs to God. Third, praise Him, for it's a discipline of discipleship. Now, beyond New Life, this need to praise God applies to our lives, every single one of us, whether we are involved in New Life work or not. Praising God needs to permeate our lives. Look at verse 2. From this time forth and forevermore. And verse 3. From the rising of the sun to its setting. Praise needs to be a key discipline in our discipleship because it's not natural, because we suffer from our own fallen nature. And because of our fallen nature, we are way more likely to forget God and praise ourselves. Praise is not something to be done only when we feel like it. Because that is the difference between a convenience and a conviction. If we do something only when we feel like it, it's more of a convenience. But if we hold a conviction, we do it regardless of how we feel. Just now when Sean was leading, you notice in one of the songs he paused and he said, you know, it's easy to sing praises when we're feeling good. But what happens when we're not? What happens if, like a loved one in my family, just received a cancer diagnosis? Or if you receive news that you did not expect, which was way worse than you thought? What happens then? And we have parallels in other parts of our lives, don't we? We study the Bible as a discipline because of the conviction that we need God's word in our life. Those of us who are musicians, we also practice as a matter of discipline. And I know it's not easy. My own little trick is when I come home from work, I force myself to sit down by the instrument and practice for a bit of time so that minimally I maintain some muscle memory in my fingers. And for those of us who are committed to being healthy and being fit and exercising so that we can serve God more and longer, whether or not you feel like it, you put on your exercise gear and your shoes and you go to the gym or you go to the track and you exercise. Discipline is what we do because we should, not because we feel like it. And praise is the discipline of discipleship. So we've covered the first half of Psalm 113, and now we come to a hinge part of the psalm, the middle part of the psalm. If you move further down in Psalm 113, you come to verse 5, which is where the sermon title comes from, Who is like the Lord our God? It marks the transition from the description of Him as God of glory to God of grace. Now, just before verse 5, you read in verse 4, The Lord is high above all nations, not some nations, all nations, and His glory above the heavens. So the Lord is seated on high, indeed high above all nations, and yet we're going to see in the rest of Psalm 113, He looks far down. This is a God who bothers about us. God's great love is what some scholars have called a condescending love. In contrast, many kings and rulers and leaders in the world may be seated on high, but they do not look very far down. Now, there's a Bible scholar by the name of Derek Kidner, K-I-D-N-E-R. If you want to read his book, it's a commentary on Psalms 73 to 150. And in this book, Derek Kidner had a specific section on Psalm 113. And his title for Psalm 113 is this, Nothing Too Great for Him, No One Too Small. Nothing too great for Him, no one too small. In other words, God is an incomparably high and compassionately humble God. Because He looks down, He is a God of grace, which is our focus for the second part of this sermon, the God of grace. And because He is the God of grace, we follow His example in His heart for the needy. The second half of Psalm 113 tells us about God's heart for the needy. In verses 7 to 8, what does it say? It says, He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people. Now, if you look a bit further down, you notice in verse 9 of Psalm 113, there's a reference to the barren woman. The psalm's reference to God giving the barren woman a happy home for her family addresses the deep cultural shame and legal vulnerability associated with barrenness in the ancient Near East. According to the writer Willem Gemeran from his book Psalms, in the ancient Near East, and especially in Israel, motherhood was seen as a crowning achievement of any woman. A barren woman was a social outcast. She was a disappointment to her husband, to other women, and especially to herself. But in verse 9, God lifts her up. God has a special heart for the needy, the marginalized. God defends the oppressed. God identifies with the needy. Think about this verse, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, where it says, Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Or consider a chapter from last week, Matthew 25. If you look at Matthew 25, verse 40, Jesus said, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And remember what Hannah said in the video? She said she's thankful that New Life has not given up on people like me. New Life's work is a living out of God's heart. Just as God did not give up on us, so we follow God's example in not giving up on others. Next, we follow His example in testimony. When we follow God's example and we provide a testimony, it is something effective over the course of history. Over the course of history, Christians who follow the God of the gospel have shown they were different, very often because of how Christians cared for the needy. So, for example, there was a Roman emperor called Julian the Apostate. And he was called Julian the Apostate because he was a pagan emperor from AD 361 to 363. And Julian the Apostate was distraught by the growth of Christianity, and he wanted to restore the predominance of paganism. So Julian the Apostate was funding pagan feasts, building temples, and paying priests. But even Julian had to acknowledge, and he didn't call them Christians, he called them those impious Galileans. He said, these impious Galileans support not only their own poor, but ours as well. And he said the reason for the rapid Christian growth was that Christians had in effect adopted a new code of honor. Christians were extending charity to the poor, the sick, the travelers, and even those who were pagan outsiders. Christians unconditionally helped anyone with needs. And Julian the Apostate said, this is disgraceful for us, the pagans. And the pagans looked bad because in conventional Roman culture, people were cautious to give gifts only to those people who could reciprocate, who could give back. In such a context, the Christian practice of setting up hostels for travelers and hospitals for the sick undermined the prevailing political and religious system, which was designed to increase and perpetuate the honor of elites and not attend to the needs of people in the lower classes. And secondly, you have the 3rd century Christian author Tertullian, who observed, it is our care for the helpless, our practice of loving kindness that brands us in the eyes of many of our opponents. Only look, they say, look how they love one another. Love was the Christian's brand. As New Life does its work, often together with Covenant's many dedicated volunteers, we are showing concretely that the God of the gospel is truly different. And finally, follow God's example in transformation. I'm going to end today's sermon with this story, and we have the family's permission to share it. On 1st November, I had the great joy of giving out the graduation certificates to our New Life preschool K2 graduates. It's always one of the highlights of the year for me as New Life's chairman. On this specific occasion, on November 1st, I was particularly happy to give the certificate to Aiden, whom you can see in this photograph. You see, Aiden is a child with autism. In fact, if you remember the video from last year, his mother shared about Aiden and how he had these very severe struggles with autism. And when he first came to New Life, it wasn't easy. Things were far from straightforward. We had to figure out how to help him integrate into our class. But through the loving, sustained, systematic, targeted efforts of our New Life preschool team, Aiden has grown and developed wonderfully. When Aiden first joined us about 4 years ago, his school readiness score as evaluated was 15. This year, upon graduation, he was tested again. It is now 85. That is an improvement of more than 450%. So on 1st of November, what normally happens is we have the ceremony and Steve and I will go up and we'll do the last song with the kids, and then the kids walk off and Steve and I are normally the last to walk off. So if you can imagine, those of you who know BBJ, we were on stage, we walked down and Aiden's father was waiting somewhere there for Steve and us to come down the stairs. And Aiden's father deliberately wanted to wait for us because he wanted to come up to us and tell us, when we first brought Aiden to you, He had so much trouble integrating. He had so much trouble fitting in. But today I watch Aiden at graduation, watching him perform, watching him get a certificate. He said, "New life has brought about a transformation in Aiden." Those were his words. New life has brought about a transformation in Aiden. I can tell you, being in BBCA that day, it was special. It's not going to end there. The story of Aiden won't end there. We're discussing with his parents. He's going to go to a mainstream primary school, and we're trying to get him to join our student care so that we can continue to give this help in his continued transformation. We're working very hard to bring about more stories of such transformation. I guess I'm feeling emotional because, you know, we try very hard. And sometimes it feels like the results are not there. But today, if you sense the Lord telling you to join us, to help us, to contribute, then I think we'll just bring up the donation slide again. You can donate and help us. But I just want to make one more point, which I made in April when I was preaching. I'm not asking us to fill a donation gap. I'm asking us to help fulfill a mission of transformation for these kids, for these youth. We need to give them hope. So as Sean leads us in this song, if God has moved you to give, then give. But for some of us, maybe you feel like, I'm not ready to give. I in fact feel like the needy, I feel like the barren woman, I feel like the one who's marginalized. Maybe you need God to reach out to you and lift you up as well. Whatever it is, I pray that today you hear his voice and respond to him.
Church, shall we all rise and respond to the Lord? The song, Because of Jesus. You made a covenant with me, signed by the blood that still speaks. Now I'm forgiven, I'm called righteous, I'm made clean. There on the cross at Calvary, you give it all to purchase me. You are the Savior and the God who set me free.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.